this edition of WBOI's Field Notes, I use Magical Season continues as Fernando Mendoza wins the Heisman Trophy. We'll take a look back on his amazing 2025 campaign. Then Victoria Jacobson from the Journal-Gazette drops by to talk high school hoops, from improving girls' teams to a showcase of boys' squads. I'll close with notes on the Comets, the Colts, and more. That's all next on Field Notes. Thank you for joining us this week. I'm Zach Bernard. As if having a perfect 13-0 record and the number one seed in the country wasn't enough, IU quarterback Fernando Mendoza won the Heisman Trophy over the weekend. The Heisman is awarded to the most impressive college football player of the season. While there have been controversial choices over the years, Mendoza's was clear-cut as he earned a little more than 84% of the vote. IU's football program has been active since 1887, and this marks the first time a Hoosier has ever taken home the award.
I know that going to this ceremony means so much for everybody here in Bloomington. It means so much for my family. It means so much to the team.
It's no wonder why the transfer from Cal was such a clear choice. His 33 touchdowns were tops among all college quarterbacks, while his 88.5 QB rating ranked third. He threw for 2,980 yards on the year, with only 6 interceptions. These are very impressive individual numbers, but Mendoza credits IU's entire roster through and through.
The Heisman's great, but the only reason I'm up for the Heisman is because we're 13-0, and we're Big Ten champs.
The Hoosiers are currently awaiting who they'll face in the Rose Bowl on January 1st, but they won't have to wait long. It will be either number 8 Alabama or number 9 Oklahoma, and they'll play each other on Friday night. And now I'm joined by Victoria Jacobson from the Journal-Gazette, who came in despite nursing a bit of a cold, so thank you extra much for being with us.
Thank you all for having me.
We're just about fully turning our attention to hoops now. You've had your eyes on some exciting matchups over the last week. Let's start on the girls' side. Norwell picked up a nice conference win over Columbia City.
Yes, 55-43. This is an important NEA victory. They're all kind of important, but especially given that Columbia City, still a pretty big foe in the NEA, actually won this one last year. So really important for Norwell to get this win. There were a combined 41 fouls. There was a...
It's like the 2002 Western Conference Finals.
It felt like Norwell versus Columbia City versus the whistle. It was one of those where Norwell built up a good double-digit lead, but then you get to about 4 minutes left in the fourth quarter, and three of their starters and Isabel Swineford, another key player, were all playing with four fouls, and we're all thinking, they should have this in hand, but... they do need to finish with somebody on the floor. Columbia City's too good of a team to beat with nobody on the floor. So turned out we did have one foul out. But other than that, everybody else managed to stay on the floor. And they managed to wrap this one up. It did get a little bit dicey at the end where you're wondering, how is this going to end? And so it was a pretty good experience for Norwell, I think, to continue to play defense even when, again, a lot of your health starting lineup is in foul trouble. And again, not just the three fouls, but four fouls in a game that had been very tightly called.
More recently, you got to see Snyder crush Bishop Lures 59-24, and it looks like they're starting to hit their stride.
Yes, so it has been a little bit of a difficult season for the Snyder girls because we all know about Janiyah Cooper, who is, you know, you go to their games and you, at least for me, I'm, you know, I sign in as Victoria Jacobson from the Journal-Gazette and you get to see who else has already signed in. And sometimes you see coaches from certain, you know, big time universities who are there to watch her. But she missed about a month of play. And then they also had a Mackenzie White, 5'10 freshman, power forward. She had shoulder surgery a couple months ago, was finally cleared last week. And so they are just, for the very first time, kind of playing together. And we saw the fruits of that last night with a 59-24 win over Lors. That is the fourth win in a row for Snyder. Three of those wins are over conference opponents. All three of those conference opponents did not break 30. So this is really good news for Snyder, which is now 9-4. And talking to Coach Reggie Tharp, said he's really pleased that they've managed to stay well above 500, even in that times when, you know, you're missing your sophomore star, you're missing someone you knew was going to be a huge contributor as a freshman. Things seem to be coming into form exactly when you want it to, because we're over halfway through the girls' regular season already. We're have a couple more games, a couple more conference games this weekend, and then we get into Christmas break tournament season. And once that's over, there's only a month left until we get to the sectional tournament. So you really want to be rounding into form right now.
On the boys' side, the Champions of Character Basketball Classic took place over the weekend. What did you take away from that?
Yeah, so it was a little bit of a difficult day for Fort Wayne, not gonna lie. So this is held annually over at Grace, which is a really nice NAIA facility for those of you who have never been. It's over in Winona Lake, right by Warsaw. But it's kind of a really fun tournament. These high schoolers get to play in a college gym, and the Grace team kind of runs it. Grace has a close relationship with Blackhawk Christian, so the Braves are often there. On Saturday, though, a little rough for our teams. We started off with Snyder, who lost 62-38 to Chesterton. Kind of demoralizing because Snyder had played really well with an 18-point win over Wayne the night before. Turnaround Saturday, early afternoon, just did not have it. Now, Chesterton has been a very, very good team. They are 4-0, ranked in the top 20 in the IBCA poll, but just really didn't have any answers for Chesterton. In our second game, we had Blackhawk Christian versus Warsaw. Warsaw is one of our local teams, but of course is a little bit further afield. That one was a lot closer. It was 45-34 in favor of the Tigers. And that was the first win of the year for Warsaw, which has really started off with a tough slate. Blackhawk Christian being another one of those tough teams. It was Warsaw that got the better end of that, even though they did not hit their first field goal until a buzzer beater to end the first period by Meidenberger. So it was a slow start for the Tigers. They figured it out. Blackhawk was playing without Briggs Pardon, who was their top returning scorer from last year. So that's something to keep an eye on. And then in the finale, it was Homestead versus South Bend Riley. And in that one, it was South Bend Riley who took home the win, 65-53. There were an awful lot of three-pointers in that game. I believe both teams finished the game with 9. But it just turned out that South Bend Riley was also pretty deadly from two-point field goal range. They were just hitting a lot. And Homestead, as I said, they made 9 threes. They shot okay, but just couldn't keep up, and they were playing from behind. And it was one of those things where you make defensive adjustments, and then Riley beat those defensive adjustments, and you run out of time. Homestead did cut the lead down to 6, I believe, early in the fourth quarter, but then Riley went on another run. Yeah, that was Homestead's first loss of the year, but they will be back in action at home this Friday against Bishop Lors, so getting back into conference play.
Victoria Jacobson is covering the whole spectrum of local basketball and sports for the Journal-Gazette. Thank you, as always, for being here, especially today, despite the cold. I hope you feel better soon.
I am looking forward to sounding better in the new year. Thank you guys so much.
Fort Wayne Comets are starting to level off a bit and have lost their firm grip on first place in the Central Division. They're still at the top, but they went 1-2 last weekend, leaving them a precarious 2 points ahead of the Bloomington Bison. It's a long season, and there's plenty of hockey left to play. They're at home this weekend, hosting the Indy Fuel Friday night and Cincinnati Saturday at the Coliseum. Both games will face off at 7:30. Phillip Rivers and the Colts couldn't get it done against the Seattle Seahawks out west. The Seahawks set a team record by winning a game with 6 field goals and no touchdowns. A great day for Jason Myers' fantasy owners, not so great for Indiana's NFL team. Rivers himself was fine. Victoria and I talk a lot off mic about how there simply aren't many people who can play quarterback in the NFL, and with that in mind, his performance was competent enough. 120 yards with a touchdown and a pick. He's effectively a fourth string QB who hasn't played pro football in 5 years, so it was fine. But numbers like that don't bode well for a team that just a month ago looked like it could make waves in the AFC. Injuries have completely decimated the Colts, and their chances of even getting to the playoffs look slimmer every week. 3 weeks are left on the NFL schedule, and they will not be easy for the Colts. They'll host the 10-4 49ers at home for Monday Night Football, and they've got the 10-4 Jaguars for their last home game on December 28th, before concluding the year in Houston January 4th against the Texans, who've won 6 in a row. If Phillip Rivers can overcome all of that and lead the Colts to the playoffs, it'd be pretty amazing stuff. The Pacers have lost their 2 games since we last spoke, bringing them to a 6-20 record on the year. It's a busy week ahead of the holiday with the Knicks tonight at home before hitting the road to take on the Pelicans Saturday and the Celtics Monday. They'll return home next Tuesday to host the Milwaukee Bucks. Meanwhile, the Purdue men's team bounced back from its tough loss against Iowa State with wins against Rutgers and Marquette, but those were not convincing enough for voters to move them from number 6 in the national rankings. They'll host number 21 Auburn at Gainbridge Fieldhouse Saturday before a long holiday layoff, and will return to face Kent State on December 29th. That's all for Field Notes this week. Field Notes comes out every Thursday. We'll see you next week. I'm Zach Bernard.
Music for Field Notes is produced by Jack Ankenbrook. You can support this podcast anytime at wboi.org/donate. You and I are listening to WBOI.